I need it.
So I hear you guys had like a ton of energetic speakers this morning, so
I'm going to put on my boring tone, really monotone words, and pause a lot. Anyway, does everybody know it's Anita's birthday today?
Yeah.
Did you sing happy birthday to her yet?
Yeah.
We should really take a second, right?
And sing happy birthday to Anita. You got any attention for this?
So today we're going to talk about how Sacramento County implemented workflow and how that interacts with the mapping site. It says New Angels, but New Angels is just a tool that got that. So you guys are all drafters at your respective assessor's offices?
Yeah.
So you do interact at some level with your property transfer section, whatever you call it, the ownership processing guys? That works out really well, right?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can run down the way it works. Somehow they get these documents, and then they may or may not have somebody try to put a parcel number on them. Who has somebody in their property transfer section actually puts a parcel number on the documents? Who has to do all the work? All right, you guys are the lucky ones. The guys doing all the work, you're the lucky ones. All right, so in our office, the way it used to work is the documents used to come in, they'd come in on a disk, and someone would print them out, and they'd write all these parcel numbers on all these documents. And if they didn't understand it, or it had a long legal, or whatever, you know, the complicated ones, they'd take that pile of paper, and they'd run it over to Anita's staff, draw out the pile of paper. Somebody would pick it up. You know, correct me if it's wrong, and then if you guys do it different. Someone would pick that up, and they'd look at those documents, and they'd further write parcel numbers. I love writing. It's my favorite thing to do. They'd write like this. They'd highlight it, and then they'd send it back. Anybody want to chime in with the inherent problem of taking a pile of paper from one section to another?
Where is that?
Where is it? Where's the bloody document? Don't know. If Ken's here. Hi, Ken. There he is. Hi, Ken. If Ken had a taxpayer call and say, hey, I did this recording and it's not, the ownership's not changed. What's the deal? And he went out and says, where's recorded date, recorded page blah? You can never find it. Where is it? I don't know. If it was done, he's like, yeah, there it is. It's done. But if it wasn't done, you never know where it is. So there's one of the snacks. Anita, how much workload did you have at that time? When we process pile of papers, could you give me a number?
100,
100, 300. There you go. There's the answer. Your assessors like that when you say that, right? 12 inches? Can you quantify that? Well, some of them are multiple pages. Gotta give me a minute. All right. So, joke. We looked at that. After we looked at our property transfer section and said, you know, we can improve this. We can bring forward auditability. We can bring forward being able to track things, counts, et cetera. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go through the process of how we did it in New Ames. And then hopefully I don't ramble so long that there won't be time for a question or two when I'm done. But basically what happens is that I can still come into our property transfer section, they still give a crack at the parcel number on the documents. If they can do that, it goes over into La La Land. We really don't care where that goes because, hey, we're the mapping section. The ones they can't get, they simply go to the screen that they put the parcel numbers on. They change the little combo box. It says map account assignment. The document, oh wait, I forgot to mention, there's no paper anymore. There's no pile of paper. It is all done electronically. So when we hit a screen that allows the mapping staff to put on a parcel number, it's going to bring up an energetic beep because PTS no longer came over the pile of paper. There's the base. It just accumulates. All right, so property transfer just basically says, this document, I can't understand it, long, legal, whatever. It automatically is available immediately that very second for mapping to take care of. Everybody with me? Pretty basic, yeah? Roger? No? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're gonna work like mappers, and we're just going to go to work. Work next to your Q box up there at the top. It says sub-Q. It's already selected the map account assignment duty before you rush off to the next button. I have to stop you in case because she knows exactly where I'm going. Let's hit the combo box. This is like the central navigation place for mappers. They can do any of the work from here. So depending on the work that they're trying to do, they pick a different entry here. We're going to do a count assignment, so let's go. So she simply hits the next button. The next button is slightly different than going to a pile of paper and picking up the pile of paper and taking it over and start writing parcel numbers on it. The difference between the pile of paper approach and the next button approach is I can pull out any pile I want. I can pull out the small one from 2 days ago, or I can pull out the big one from a month ago that everybody hasn't touched. Inside of our system, it says, oh, what's the oldest deed that's in there? Because shouldn't that one be worked first? It gives them the oldest one first. So what it is, we went into our little map account assignment screen. Okay, what it does is it brings up the deed, shows the record date page. The comment section in the middle here, it shows them anything that the PTS section may have sent across. A, you know, this is funky because. So you take a look at it, hit the next button. Back here, you saw that an image opened up. Can you click to the image real quick? So automatically, as soon as they opened it up in the account assignment, it brought up the image of the deed. So they can look at it, go read the long legal, whatever. Judy just put some fun data in here. So there's the parcel number right down the screen. Switch back to the application. Did you already put it in?
PTS put it in, but they think
they're
legal because it's
wrong. Okay, Nita, is this good? it's a test database. We are connected directly to the assessor's office, by the way, but we're working on the test system. So basically what they're doing here is they're verifying that the parcel number's good. If they didn't like it, they simply click on it and hit delete parcel. If they wanted to add another one, they hit add parcel. Let's hit add parcel. Let's make it multi-parcel for fun. Type in the new parcel number. Hit OK, automatically assigned. They didn't write anything, they didn't have to highlight anything, they didn't unstable or restable anything, they just did it. As soon as she's done, she will take and change the sub-Q to send it back to mapping. She sends it to level assignment. When she's done, she will send that's it. Okay, so what did I just do? I picked up a pile of paper from BTS and ran it over to mapping, gave it to mapping, mapping processed it, they ran it back and they gave it back to the next person in line, but no one got up out of their chair, so I'm encouraging heart failure. Nobody came over to talk to me. Excellent. I didn't have to look at anybody's baby pictures. Done! We went from processing like 2 weeks behind to now I think we're running at a pretty constant 3 days behind. Just by making it so they just did it. And as soon as you're done with one record, you send it back and it's available for next step.
Who scans all your recorded documents?
The recorder's office does. They scan it anyway for their own benefit. That's a really good question. You don't mind if I bird dog for a second. The recorder's office would scan the documents, they would burn it to a disk for us. They'd also assemble a file saying what recordings they're sending us and their recorder's document code. They'd electronically send us the file, but they'd mail the disk. The recorder's office also has it in their file net system, but we had some problems from our building where we couldn't get to their file net system all the time, so that's why they'd send us the disk. Most recently, we actually made it so that we don't have to wait 3 days for our internal mail system to actually deliver the disk anymore. and yeah, it's funny, isn't it? He's experienced it. And actually, the recorder's office now just sends us all the files. It goes, here you go. Here's all the deeds. Here's the images of the deeds. So we have a local copy of it. We only keep the local copy during processing. Once it's done, we rely on the recorder's file. Did I answer your question about slide 500? Anyone else have a question?
Yeah. Do any documents come directly to you without a title transfer?
Do any documents go? Yes. Yes. Actually, there's a filtration system in the process that loads in that file from the recorder's office. Certain recorder types say mapping, bam, straight into the queue. Everything, that's a really good question because it segues into this. Everything that goes into the mapping section, unless it has a specific code that says it's a PC or something, goes into map account assignment. Map account assignment allows then to put parcel numbers on these deeds, but it's also a catch-all. So every deed that goes in there isn't, every recorded document that goes in there isn't necessarily a deed they need to put a parcel number on. It's their sort. So they go in there and go, oh, this is a lot line adjustment. I'm going to save it in the lot line adjustment queue. Oh, this is actually a PC. I'm going to save it as a PC. Does that make sense? But if the recorder's document type is sufficient to say that it's a PC or a value adjustment or whatever, it goes right into those bins.
In our office, the partial transfer clerks, they just look at the BPN. If it matches ownership, they transfer the partial. A lot of deeds have the partial number on it. So you're saying your transfer clerks read the legals?
No. If it has a long legal, they have to send it on. Period. But sometimes I don't know if there's a problem with your property transfer guys, for those that only do half the work, not all the work, that they see a parcel number on the first page, but they don't acknowledge that it's a two-page deed, and the second page has a long legal on it, and it's actually identifying the split, and it's identifying the parent parcel from the split, and that never happens to anyone else, right? It's just us. Sometimes things get misparceled, but they are allowed to do it. They are supposed to look at the second page, and when we identify that that happens, we go over and have a little consultation session with them about the difficulties of rolling back documents. Anyone else have a question in this area?
So do you have some area or mechanism to edit or make notes if that APN is wrong, or you have multiple APNs that are not included? Where do you make those notes?
Where would the mapping staff make those notes to say, hey, you missed some APNs?
Whether it's your parcel transfer specialist or someone in the app.
Well, it's a good question. If the parcel numbers are on the document and they're correct, how do we know that it's correct? The account assignment person in the property transfer section will put on the parcel number, but they're still supposed to go to that second page, because the second page will have a short legal description on it. You notice how Judy said, oh, they couldn't identify this one because the short legal doesn't match. It said no short legal on the screen. If it doesn't match, you're supposed to send it to mapping. So in our, it's not parcel number and ownership, it's parcel number and short legal. Then PTS can say yes. Other than that, they're supposed to send it to mapping for identification. And if they have a little leg up as to what the problem is, they have a way of typing in a little note. Okay? And it just goes along with the deed now. It becomes part of the deed. This little communication system. We're going, Judy. Comment section. This one has no comments, but if property transfer wanted to send them something, they could. Hey, this is funky because mapping can add a comment back, send it back. Okay, this is what I found. If something's misparceled farther down the line, then the property transfer person can actually just come over and talk to the mappers. We can go look at the deed again and say, yeah, this is supposed to be on the parcel block.
I'm a little confused. Why would a cleaner spouse or transfer deed?
Because this is a test system and we just throw a bunch of crap in it. Good question.
That's the problem. You have prizes to be given out when people ask good questions.
I came so unprepared. And I don't have a handout either. She just has to remember me.
Even an interspousal can have a bad description.
True enough. There could be a legitimate reason why it's there, but we're not working on our production database. I have a tendency to say no to that. So what I asked Judy to do for me, she did a great job, was just to build up some records in the queues so that, you know, when we hit the next button, it didn't give us an error like none. A good question. Anybody else have a question before I run on? Run on. That's my whole presentation. I run on all the time. Okay, so did we hit next again? Or is... Let's sort one. So you're just going to hit next. I'm at the count of time. At this time, we're going to pretend that it's not something that we're supposed to. We're going to pretend now. So the document, not right. We're going to pretend that it's a PC. If the mapper says, oh, this is a PC, it's not actually a document that PTS needs to work with. They simply go to the queue, and they change it to one that's appropriate for PC, and hit OK, and that sorts it into their own individual workflow bins. Okay? Okay. So, that's the count assignment. Pretty easy. Pretty fast. It really streamlined the way that we do things by getting rid of the paper, getting rid of the files. I'll show you accountability later to say, hey, where's this deed? Or hey, what's your workload today, Lita? We'll show you screens for that after. But now we're going to go off and we're going to do a PC. Before we dive too quickly into it, I'm going to explain a process. And the process kind of takes care of that parent parcel number that's on the deed, and the long legal actually references, say, a split. That's a real problem for us. I don't know if it's a problem for you guys, where the deed comes in, says parent parcel, someone puts a parent parcel on it, works for sale, never looks at the long legal to find out it's supposed to be a split. After it's committed, the appraiser looks at it and goes, what? Sends it back, they have to go undo stuff. Our system's set up to identify parent parcels as quickly as possible. So when the mapping staff or the recorder sends over something that we identify as a PC, we put it in this queue called the PC prep queue. And the PC prep queue is there for the sole purpose of saying, what are the parent parcels on this PC the system needs to know now? Okay, so do we have a map PC prep? So, go. I thought about talking, but thank you. Okay, so map PC prep, they come into a screen. Basically, the purpose of this, like I said, is to put on a parent parcel number. Let's go on. Because then we know the parcel. By quickly, okay. The map PC prep queue is the number one queue for mapping, right? If we get a document in there, we want to get rid of it. Anita, birthday girl? She nodded. For those of you in the back, that was a nod. Come to the pedestal, Anita. We need your thought. No, just kidding. Okay, you'll have to just remember me. So she put in a parcel, and as soon as she put in the parcel number, the sub-queue changed to map PC. Remember I said that it went into a queue called map PC prep. Map PC prep is a high priority queue. If the mapper sees anything, then it's supposed to work it immediately. That's to get the parent parcels established. What happens when the parent parcels are established? You can go ahead and save it, dude. The whole system reacts to that parent parcel now being identified as something that's going to be deleted. If someone in our property transfer section opens up that deed that we missed parceled before, and its recorded date is after this one, it automatically snaps it back to mapping. As soon as they open it, it goes, bye-bye, and it leaves. Does it say bye-bye? I forget. Anyway, it opens up and says, hi, I'm going to mapping. They have no choice to do anything other than watch it go. Hit OK, they go back to their next button, and they move on. If the recording's before the date, it leaves it alone. Because we want those processed, right? We kind of need those processed before the split can occur. So the system goes at length to try to protect the parcel number. If a new document comes in, and that lovely account assignment person that I have in the property transfer session puts on that parcel number, the cues that she can set to move it on to its next step, she no longer has an option. It goes to mapping. So it's protecting it to make sure the mapping staff knows about this parent parcel being used on another document. Because odds are, if it's a subsequent deed, it's not talking about the parent anymore. It's moved on, right? Okay. So, who does their PCs on paper? Just one. Oh, you out. Ron works in our department. Ken, you need to take him outside. So only one of you did it on paper? No one fills out a sheet of paper anymore?
What do you mean by PC?
A parcel creation.
A parcel what?
Who does a parcel creations on paper? maybe has data entry entered into the system for them? Yeah? Okay, good. I was gonna, wow, you guys are all highly automated. That's awesome. Is that working at your company? No, just kidding. I'm not leaving Ken. Boehner. So the next step in our process, we went into the mapping section, was to look at the PC process, the parcel creation process. It had this lovely grid, and they filled out all these lovely columns, and they made these lovely squiggles, and things like that. But there was a process. We wanted to make sure that process was taken care of. When you guys do parcel creations, can we open one? When you do parcel creations, let's see, we take the parent parcels. You guys tell me if you guys do any different, because, you know, maybe I want to do something funny. First screens in the PC process shows the many comments assigned to it, and then the parent parcel section there, you see there's three parcels on this document. That should have been taken care of in that PC prep queue, remember? We really shouldn't have anything to do here, but if I needed to correct it, I totally could. Okay, so three parcels. Now they have the parent parcels, what's the next step? What are you guys going to do next?
Split.
You're going to verify the ownership before you split it?
Do that.
No? You? He does, you don't? What county did you work for? What's your assessor's name? How do you give him a call? Oh, wait a second. My phone's doing the internet, so I can't call him. Sorry. We're going to verify the ownership, right? Everybody has to exist on all the parcels, otherwise we have to slash crop. Okay. Next screen. All Judy's doing here is hitting like a wizard-based system. She hits next, goes to the next step in the process. We didn't define the process, the mapping staff did. All we did was implement a way that they could do it easily. Up at the top there, we see it's working on one of three parcels. It's working on the first one. It automatically went to where the ownership of that the current record was for it. Pulled up the deed, the recorded date and page. I wish I brought my laser. It's up there at the top. That's the latest recording for that particular parcel. It shows the ownership and the percentage.
Cool. We know three owners. We got their names. We're good to go.
Another thing that this screen does, down here at the bottom, tells me kind of a little key thing. It says, oh, by the way, there's six incomplete documents still attached to that parcel.
Should I be working yet?
Probably a good idea.
PTS?
You have some work to do.
No, we don't call immediately. If there were actually documents in here, you could actually look at the image of each one of those documents to see if it's a transfer, to see if it would affect this PC. If it doesn't, go ahead and keep working on it. If it does, call property transfer and then keep working on it. The system doesn't make anybody stop. Our old way always did. If you found a problem, you'd table it. You'd put it aside. You'd have to remember that you're working with it. This one, he goes, work it anyway. I know what I'm doing. The program thinks it does anyway. Okay, so we're going to hit next parcel. It's just going to iterate through the parcel and reload the ownership for each parcel. Okay? The only thing funky about this particular PC, and Anita will have to tell me if it's a problem, the first parcel, the percentage ownership is different than the other two. Do we care? We don't care. So we're moving on. Next.
PTS is a problem.
All right, so now we've done the pre-steps, right? Remember I said, hey, we do our parcel changes on paper. We have a lovely grid, has columns and rows and things. But there were some pre-steps. We took care of it. We established the parents. We verified the parent ownership. We looked at the percentages. We looked at any unrecorded deeds that might affect what we're doing. And we did it in a couple of seconds. We didn't have to go into another system. We didn't have to open another screen. Nowhere in here did I type in a parcel number, a PC number, or anything else. The system's feeding it for me. You know, I might be edgy on that carpal tunnel thing, and I'm not off making it any worse. So, when I go to the grid, now I'm creating children. It wants to know, how many kids you making? How many kids we want to make, Judy? 3,412? How about 50? Okay. Let's do 50. I don't know why I picked 50, but I did. Oh, I've got a dollar on 50, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. this is random. It's totally random, I swear. Alright, so Judy put in that she's making 50 children. The screen's actually set up to make it so we can do the parcel numbers really fast. So it assigns a lot number each one. In the book, she's going to repeat the book that we're working with from the parent parcel.
See you in the next class.
You guys got a notepad? Write down Judy talked at a conference. just go for it. It's new. All right, so she put it in the booking page, and it automatically picked the next parcel. If we just want to iterate that down for the whole set, you'll see up there by where Judy's mouse is working that those little fields in the top say 49, 49, 49, 49, 49, and they all have V's except for this column right here. The V is actually just an arrow, so if she hits one, it's going to repeat the value all the way down. She's going to do the same thing to the page. It'd be kind of silly in our numbering system to have the third set to be the same number all the way down as it identifies the actual parcel. Little problem there. So it says plus, which means, hey, why don't you increment each one? Now, it could happen that one of those numbers would be used somewhere else. But I've actually checked that too, if I'm not mistaken, to make sure that it doesn't make any duplicate parcels, because for some reason the system doesn't like that. Okay, so let's put it on some street and give it some crazy addressing. But the point that I want you to see it as Judy's looking across this particular product is the amount of typing is minimized. The amount of ease of use is expedited. So the zip's the same, let's just repeat the zip. But I mean, how many big PCs actually end up on the same street, right? I've never seen a PC that just like goes all the way down Watt Avenue. So that's where that little number at the top comes in. Let's say the first five streets are Main Street. So she changes the number inside of the 49 to 5. Then you see 5. Okay, so she clicks down underneath Main and types in something else. Notice the number at the top saying, okay, you got 43 left. Feel free to steal the ideas, I stole it from myself, so it's okay. The only thing that we couldn't come up with was a quick way to put in the street number. So, Rom has to type in every single one, all the way through. Right, Rom? That's why it does it on paper. All right, so let's just make it done. Can you make it done? Yeah, let's just finish it. Because we've got to finish our PC. Sure. You noticed when it loaded up that the zone and the TRA automatically filled in? That's because it matched on all the parents. So it just said, oh, they match. I can reuse it. You don't have to guess. It's done. Right? Okay, we're nodding, and yeah, you did it right over there. Okay, so we're done. We filled out the whole sheet. I didn't have to make one squiggly mark, but I hit a couple of E's. Our size addresses a lot of you guys to remember. So let's go. So here's next. The system, not complacent with the idea that we knew what we were doing, actually adds up the square footage of all the children and compares it with the square footage of the parent. And somehow we over-allocated Judy. I'm thinking you're going to need to fix something because that's 250,000 square feet and you only have 215,000 square feet. So she's going to stay here and fix it. Yeah, stay here and fix it. Come on. No, really? You're not going to fix it? Just click at the top and change it to 4,000. Uh-oh, the programmer's balking. What does that mean? Let's make her do it anew. Come on, do it. No, not 50,000. Four, zero, okay, there you go. Arrow. Cricket. Move on. So this time it's going to come up and say, hey, you're using less square footage than you actually have. But that happens, right? We got green strips, we got runways, we got all that geeky mapping stuff. So we're going to go to the next screen. Every subdivision, which we kind of fake this into being a subdivision, we put in short legal descriptions. We try to make that really easy too, by instead of making them put in all the numbers that automatically seats in the parcel, seats in the lot, the only thing that the mapper should have to do is actually apply the subdivision, right? So we're going to put in the subdivision. But every parcel in the subdivision doesn't end up with a short legal, right? Some of them actually end up with a long legal description. Boring. So if it actually needs a long legal description, it simply go over here to the parcel that actually needs one, click the button, type it in. Huh?
I should give a number that brought up the subdivision name on that.
Judy is that good.
She is.
Then you guys can have it. Okay. We're not going to do that. That's too boring. Okay, next. Mm-hmm. Anybody other than Ron falling asleep yet? No? These are the kind of quality long legals that our development staff put into the system. Okay, so we finished our long and short legals. You guys all have, your systems all work this fast too, right? Just hey, this is legit too, next. All right. I didn't talk about it until we got to the screen, but I think it's a pretty cool feature about how we did this. When I'm in map account assignments, I might find a deed that's actually waiting for a PC finish. You guys ever had that happen? Like they bought a PC in the cell, 50 of them? It seems kind of boring to me that I might make a pile. Oh, wait, I'm back to my paper thing again. I might make a pile of these deeds that are waiting for PCs, and every time that, as a supervisor, Anita has to, every time she approves a PC, she has to look through the pile. This is actually the way it was done, to find the documents that are related to that PC so then I could have them parceled. That seems kind of boring. So inside of the account assignment screen, if they identify that, hey, this is the deed that's involved with the PC, they can actually attach it right to the PC right there. If the PC's already started being worked to the point where there are lots established, they can actually hook the document to the lots in the PC. Okay? Why would you do that? Well, God just. When the PC gets final and it's approved, the system goes and looks at this particular screen that I haven't explained yet, finds all those associations to the subsequent deeds, automatically parcels them, doesn't bother a mapper to do it because they already did the work, automatically parcels them, automatically moves them back to property transfer. So no pile, no waiting, no relooking. Just set it up ahead of time, get done. Because sometimes those deeds come at the same time as the PC, we have this screen. What the mapper would do in the case where the PC is just, hey, it's got a PC number, but it doesn't have anything else, it doesn't have lots, we just associate the deeds to the PC, and when the person actually processing the parcel change gets finished with it, they take a look at each one of those deeds and hook it up to the actual lots and parcel numbers that's associated with, so that when it does get approved after review, they're automatically parceled and moved on. Cool? A little bit? Okay, so we have to... We actually have a deed associated with it. So over here on the left-hand side, I have the associated documents. This is one that got tagged onto this PC. I go look at the image with this display image button over here on the side. Go ahead. I don't know that this is actually going to make any sense. Okay, so I load up the recording. I look at it. We're not actually going to read the document, but we brought it on anyway. You look at the recording. Say, okay, this is supposed to be on lot blah, parcel number blah. Moving on, click on the parcel number that's associated with. The system's now happy. So I have to explain before Judy hits this next button. If you were wrong in our section, in our office, this button right here, send it for approval, would be on. But you certainly log into SuperMapper. Mapper has approved code, which is off, and then the approve button up there at the top line. So the normal process would be for the person doing the PC to send it for approval. That would move it into another queue, sitting and waiting for a supervisor to pick it up and go look at it. And then when they're done looking at it, they say, yeah, this is good. They hit approve, and then it goes on to our legacy systems and all that fun stuff. With me? They're with us. Let's approve. Okay, so when you guys do, our mapping system hasn't integrated into our real property section yet. The real property section is used to getting this piece of paper that says, hey, there's a PC, here's the parcels that were created, here are the parents. This is a print preview of the actual form that we currently print out. In the near future, we'll be replacing it with sending it via workflow, because I love paper, it's my favorite thing. Sending it via workflow, putting it in a queue somewhere that the appraisers can pick it up and work on it. But now, they print this out and put it into a pile somewhere, right? Okay, so we're going to close that. And it's done. When you guys do a parcel creation, let me ask you a different question. Who has a legacy system they have to feed with their parcels? Two systems, three, four, five, six? Yeah. We do too. When we do a parcel creation, we have to send the records off to the legacy system that currently does our appraisal records. It processes it, then it sends it off to the property database, which is attached to the tax system. It processes it, and then it comes back. That can take 2 weeks to until I retire, let's say. You don't know when it's coming back. It's just gone. In the old way, property transfer couldn't work on any of those new parcels until it came back and said, I'm done. And in our new AIMS product, what we do is we say, okay, delete those parents. They're now dead. Nobody gets to use them in the account assignment or anything. And we immediately create all the children inside of the property transfer system. And we set this little flag, it's nothing fancy, that says it's still hung up in that legacy loop. That's what we call it. So every change that property transfer does to any of those new parcels, it just holds it. It keeps it in a little cache. And then once the legacy loop closes, we deluge it with all the changes that property transfer has done, and in the future, all the things that the appraisers have done, and everything else while the legacy product was pondering. So just like I don't have you stop the PC when the ownership is wrong, we also don't have you not work on the children when they're created. Just work. Get the job done. Keep the queues low. So that's our little theme. Okay, so accountability is my last topic. Where's this recording? We know where these recordings are, but I'm going to pretend that we don't. I'm going to pretend with Ken for a minute. And he wants to know where 2008, 1006, 0173 is. So he's going to come to the system, and he's going to go over here to the statement page, and he's going to type in that recording page and hit search. So the taxpayer's on the line, hey, where's this parcel? The system doesn't care where it is. It's going to show them what's the deal. That's something that I can't do when I have a file of paper. The reason it opened up this browser here is it's an account assignment. It's in map account assignment. And map account assignment always brings up the image for the mapper to look at automatically because it's a quick screen. So it was saying, oh, it's an account assignment. It's hanging up in mapping. Pick up the phone. I need this document from the room. It's my girlfriend. Ken does not do that. They're never going to let me talk again. Okay, so I can find a deed, right? Type in a part, report in page, bam, there it is. I could also do it by legacy account number list. Oh, let's do it by the parcel number. Hey, my parcel, I recorded this document, and the ownership hasn't changed yet. What's the deal? You just type in the parcel number, gives you a list of all the recorded deeds and stuff. This is nothing that your system is something at home. Except ours has color. Okay. Let's get out of that. And the last thing is, Anita, how much work do you have to do right now? If I asked you to do the special project, could you work on it in the next decade? Let me see. Should I get to the podium somehow? Oh, I have to do all the work. All right, so accountability. Did you go to reports? Okay, so Judy's quickly, as you were paying attention to me prancing around in the front. Went up to the menu item reports, went to a thing called review queues. Review queues, scroll down a little bit so it only shows the mapping queues.
Start at the top.
There you go. First one at the top, subqueue, awaiting legacy loop. You remember that legacy loop thing? So many parcels are still sitting out there in La La Land in our test system, in our production system. The number's probably a little bit higher. How many things are in account assignment? Remember, this is our test system, and we kind of just chucked a few records into it. 10. If we could actually log out and log into production if you want to see what our production numbers are. That'd be fun. Matt, PC, 10 account time. Anyway, you just go down the list. This is exactly what my workload is. Any time of the day, Anita can come in here, hit the button, knows exactly what the work is. It's live. So every time a queue changes, it changes in here. Keeps track. It's accountability. If Ken wants to know, Ken can come to the same screen, except Anita sees it only for the mapping section. If Ken did it, he'd see it for the entire assessment. That is my presentation. So any questions? Did I hit them all, Judy? Did I get all the topics? What did I miss?
Is there any difference in any procedures for condo?
I'm going to defer to Judy. Show them. See, I tricked her into talking. That's pretty cool. So it implements our rules for condo. So it's a little different use when it's a condo, but the system wants you to tell it that it's a condo so they can change the way the screen works to make sure you're entering the data correctly. Is that what you asked? Cool. Judy wanted me to tote how much faster the system was than it was before, but I think I did that at the beginning. Like weeks to days.
Yeah. Who creates your parcel record? Property transfer or mapping?
Who creates our parcel record?
Yeah, your PCs.
Mapping.
Does this kind of sound like property transfer to you?
No, they just forward the PC documents on the mapping. If for some reason they end up in the property transfer section, they're just forwarding it over. But the recorder does have a type for PCs, and they go 99.9% of them go directly to the mapping stack. Another question?
Comment. When you write in a type transfer over to comment that I'm sending this to mapping.
Oh, that'd be a good one. That's a comment that I do.
And then he comes to you and he says, okay, you rate some other comments. Who gets to erase these?
Wrong, where's wrong? Where'd he go? Oh, look, he sensed it. He left. Samar, who gets to erase the comments inside of Sean's crazy system? Do you know the answer? One guy, Dr. Pepper. That's the only way you get it to erase. It actually keeps track of when the comments get entered, and unless you put like the F word in there, it's not going anywhere. It's stuck there forever.
On your tracks and parcel maps, do you use this system to track those two by the sub guarantee, or do you have a different system to track your recorded maps?
Come on, Anita, come up to the podium and start answering these technical questions.
Recorder's map comes through the same, and we pick it up with a look at page number of the scanned image, which is from the recorder's office. They have a look at page number of the map and all that. So
use this system to track your parcel maps and your recorded maps through this also.
Yes, we do. Okay. But we have to download the map first. That would be we have to download the maps first, and then the maps is the recorder's book and page number. We don't really have to, but for our purposes, mapping purposes, we do have to have paper copies still available.
So you have the map image in this, like the deed image too?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's nice.
For parcels that don't have a parent parcel, can you take these?
The system will let you put in a parcel creation without parents. It'll let you put in a parcel creation without children for manipulations and for corrections. So it'll let you do it. Anita wouldn't let me make it any other way.
You, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The image of the map comes through the NADA resources. It's not through the APBs. But we would have the recording information, which is a best sheet of the parcel map or subdivision map, with a look at page number that will pop up.
Any other questions?
When you attach your legacy system of the property appraisers, when are the property appraisers going to be able to see the new ATMs?
When they're going to see what?
When are they going to be able to see the new ATMs?
As soon as that product allows them to. Okay. Right now, our current initiative is to work on valuation. I'm the manager of systems. We're going to work on valuation. And when that rules out, the appraiser for the first time will see parcels that its other product, that their other product has no idea exists. Because they will be able to value parcels the second that they're done. If their management wants them to do it at that speed. Literally the second that Anita hits approve, they'll be available for evaluation.
Will they be able to see the ATMs proportionally?
If they're looking at the legacy product, no. If they went into New Ames or newames.net, because we switched platforms somewhere in the middle, they could see them. They're available immediately via anything that starts with New Ames. But they're not available in the old Ames product or in the property database, which is attached to the finance system.
So the maps are created first, and then these tabular data sets are created from the map.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we hand deliver.
Yeah, that preview that I showed you, she has to hand deliver that. We're going to get rid of that someday, and then maybe we'll have another conference, and I'll walk you through the whole system. I'll show you how crazy easy it is to do valuation if you just do it by the values, numbers.
If the whole system crashed, do you have hard copy backups and stuff?
The whole system crashed?
Yeah.
How did you make that happen? All right, so the whole system crashed. Besides the fact that, no, that's not happening. Let's say worst case scenario, the worst case that I can imagine is the database corrupted. All the source documents are on FileNet. They never go anywhere. They're just there. So finding a spot of recovery would allow us to fill in that blank, and that would be short-lived. As far as our infrastructure goes, because anybody who's in a paper-based system and wants to stay that way would give the argument, what happens when the system crashes? Well, here's the downside to a paperless environment. When the system crashes, we all take a break. We take a very long break unless you're the manager or anyone under the manager of systems, at which time you become very stressed out. Probably provided by the manager of systems. And we run around and we get that fixed. But if you're going to go to a paperless environment where you are relying on the computer being up, buy a cluster. Cluster, that sounds expensive. No, it isn't. It's two computers. This one, all it's doing is seeing that that one's awake. And if it's not awake, it goes, hey, I got it. Okay? Systems guys like downtime. They like to shut things down and patch. They use the word patch. It's really just play solitaire. I mean, for you and me, it's solitaire in the server room. So they like to bring things down. So if I have a cluster, I can actually bring a server down and I can work on it while the other one's doing the work. So uptime. I attach my cluster to a RAID configuration so I can lose, I don't know, half the drives that I have. System doesn't know it. I have dual redundant controllers. So if one goes down, system doesn't know it. That's how we keep the system up 99.9% of the time. So, yes, I have excessive backups. Yes, I'd be willing to show pretty much anybody how to be a database administrator appropriately and make it so that a recovery process would be as minimal as negligible in the inconvenience department as possible. So if we had corruption, we do point in time right before it. It's protected. I don't even go to tape when I do recovery. I can go back 3 months without even going to tape, have it up within an hour if it's catastrophe kind of a crash. And it's an hour's worth of work lost, not days or months or years or whatever. But if we had to, so I'm following that, we could rebuild.
Yeah, I just had a question about the scope of the mapping technician or the mapping computer's responsibility. So they process all straight transfers, all boundary adjustments, and maintain all the maps.
What our mapping department does? Our mapping staff, and I need to chime in when I miss, okay? They're responsible for making sure the parcels on the deeds are appropriate.
Just straight transfers?
They put the parcel number on deeds. They don't actually process the transfer.
All
right?
Deeds.
I'm going to get a little closer. No. No, there are some people that raised their hand and said they did all the deeds in here, okay? It isn't us. All the recorded documents that are ownership transfer or something that we can't tell that it's not a mapping thing goes into our property transfer section. They take a look at it. If it is a transfer of ownership, they will give a crack at the parcel number. You know, take the parcel number off the front. Their rules are, take the parcel number off the front, verify the short legal against the short legal on the recorded document, and then they could keep it. If it has a long legal, an unverifiable short legal, they send it to the mapping staff. Those guys take care of it, send it back. Okay? So there's that. They take care of all of the, you know, lot size adjustments, they take care of all of the TRA work, they take care of all of the parcel creations and splits. Right? Okay. Nothing else. Judy wants to give a speech about how cool we are. Come on. Okay. All right. This is my last pat on the back for Judy, who did a stellar job as she coded this. Judy. Since we put this in, the roll's closed on time. Okay, so it's all our fault. It is. It's totally their fault. Whatever Ken thinks, it's totally their fault. That was the last plug. So no more questions?
What's your mechanism to get, I assume this is a P-based product. What software do you use to get into your legacy system, or what kind of legacy system do you have?
Oh, nice. This particular product, and we don't develop in it anymore, is Oracle Forms against an Oracle database.
Okay.
It's so far out of rev, the platform that we develop in, that Oracle doesn't even acknowledge that they ever made it, because it is not thin client. It is client server, something you haven't heard in like 5 years. I find no reason to go to a stateless environment when I can have so much power when I have a stated environment. So all of my clients are thick. So that's that. We're now coding in C# and .NET against the same Oracle database. Our database is rather large, it's very integrated, etc. We communicate with our legacy product via transaction records, the same thing it thinks in. The way that we integrate the legacy system is this. Anita and her staff used to fill out this piece of paper to do a parcel creation. It looked a lot like that page with all the columns in it. They take that over and they give it to, can you be data entry for me for a second? They give it to data entry. Data entry would type it in with a 90% accuracy. That's good, right? Good job. Give or take. When they typed it in, they created these things called T records. There's a bunch, you know, like T81s and T45s and T46s. But that's how data entry records got processed into the system. All we did was fake what they did. So we create inside of our system to communicate with the legacy product the same records that data entry would have created to make it so we're not introducing bugs at the legacy side. Did that answer your question? Kind of.
So you're swiping data off of a screen or are you using what kind of software? What kind of interface is it?
Oh, okay.
Particularly.
It's not interactive. It doesn't go and check the legacy system to see if the changes we're making are appropriate. Because our system owns the data, our system's right. So we say, hey, change this record to this. We know it's there because we created it. So it's not screen scraping or anything. Basically, we're making a flat file with these records that are
upload the flat file.
Then we upload the flat file into the same place that the data entry person would have typed it. The legacy product has a batch job, it wakes up and processes that file. It doesn't even know the data entry people are gone.
It's like, oh, that's great.
It means to integrate, and that's, Judy, help me out. It's running on OpenVMS, but what's the database? Admins is the database on our OpenVMS system. And then that communicates with the mainframe. So that product goes to our property system, which integrates to the tech system. And that's a black box, even to the guy who manages the AIMS system. It's a challenge for my future. Any other questions? Any answers? No? Is it lunchtime already?